Welcome and thanks for tuning in to Diving Deep with DL. This Godcast will address God's sovereignty and the numerous ingredients within His creation. God reveals and makes known His power through order, beauty, diversity, and harmony, known and unknown. God's truth confirms who you are as His creation. In fact, you are made in His image and likeness. Look at your essence, which contains the physical aspect, your stature, eye color, skin tone, hair, and all the rest. And within this being, your soul and spirit. Oh yes, the complexities of God's workmanship, you and the universe, plus all the trees, birds, fish, wildlife, and the countless creeping things. You are a part of everything God created in and for His purpose. Oh, the predetermined plan and foreknowledge of God. You got your tanks. Let's dive in. This segment is titled Discipleship the Way of Life. Tell me if you know. When I used to manage claims adjusters in the automobile claim industry, the adjusters would question me. Why don't you just give me the answer? And they used to get so frustrated with me because I wouldn't just give them the answer. And the reason I didn't was because they have various opportunities to grow their cognitive thinking capabilities, which would make them better adjusters. Because if they were thinking what I was thinking after reviewing the facts, damages, and statements, why ask that question? I've heard this statement before. An attorney would never ask you a question that they don't already have an answer for. And I guess that would be why, because it eliminates the surprises. I think parents perform that same questioning technique when they ask, "Where were you?" I think they already know. And they patiently wait for the expression on your face to change because they know, under the skin, you're a deceiver. I wonder why they would think that way unless they know it takes one to know one. Why does God ask questions versus just telling us the answer? The short answer is because they know what's inside our noggins, and we have a tremendous opportunity to grow our cognitive thinking capabilities, our knowledge and understanding about the only true God, His word, will, ways, and commands. I pray you take some time and read the episode summary, because you may have assumed that it's me asking you the question of, tell me if you know. But think again, because the me in the Godcast title is capitalized. Because that would be God asking the question and not yours truly. You can count on that. And if God asks if, God is giving us an opportunity to view and consider creation, His word, work, and circumstances, events, and trials we encounter from a different or a deeper, more perception from which that which we already possess. And when God asks questions, it isn't because God doesn't know, because the simple truth, God already knows because He's omniscient and knows all things. Do you need proof? And you know, on Diving Deep with DL, you're going to get the proof. It's 1 John 3:20. In whatever our heart condemns us, for God is greater than our heart and knows all things. Just like when God asked Adam, then the Lord God called to the man and said to him, "Where are you?" As Genesis 3:9 says. God doesn't ask because He didn't know where Adam was hiding. Because the plain old truth, God knew exactly where Adam was physically and spiritually. God is asking Adam for Adam to make a self-assessment about what God had told him and to test himself to see the condition of his own heart, spirit, life, and his unfaithfulness to God. And to come to the absolute truth, belief, knowledge, and understanding without any doubt that for the rest of Adam's natural life and all eternity, everything God says will happen just like He says it will. Because this is what truly happened on that day God said, "But from the tree of knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat from it you will surely die." As I quote Genesis 2:17, God spoke truth into the lives of this first married couple. You know the amazing thing about this passage, my fellow disciples? God didn't say, if you eat, or if by chance you eat. No. God said, for in the day that you eat from it, you will surely die. Oh, the predetermined plan and foreknowledge of God. Cogitate on this, my fellow disciples. So when God asked Adam, where are you? Adam's proper response should have been, right here, God, dead as a doornail, just like you said I would be. That's the plain old truth. Because this truth of God is Romans 6, for the wages of sin is death. Spiritually, Adam died. And the consequence is broken relationship with God, driven out of a beautiful Garden of Eden, spiritual death, and the passing on of sin to everyone thereafter. Here is the truth in God's word. It's Romans 5:12. Therefore, just through as one man sin entered into the world, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men, because all sinned. And we know when God says all, and I pray you said, he means all. Not one person born of the seed of Adam is born with a spotless slate, and that sin nature is passed on. And Romans 3 testifies to this truth of God. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Now hear what God said to Cain. If you do well, will not your countenance be lifted up? And if you do not do well, sin is crouching at the door, and its desire is for you. But you must master it, as Genesis 4:7 testifies. Now, you tell me, if this account in Cain's life is not an NGA situation, if you do well, or if you do not do well, some action is going to follow. So let me ask you, why didn't Cain just choose the doing well and have his countenance lifted up? You would think that'd be an easy decision. Or was it because now sin has entered into humanity through one man, so death spread to all men? And now you have a godly man, Abel, and a wicked man, Cain, NGA, children of God, and children of the devil. That's the plain old truth. Because a godly man would not kill a righteous man. It's as simple as that. God sees all, because nothing is hidden from his sight. Hear this truth of God. It's Psalm 139:12. It says, even the darkness is not dark to you, and the night is as bright as the day. Darkness and light are alike to you, and there is no creature hidden from his sight. But all things are open and laid bare before the eyes of him with whom we have to do, as Hebrews 4:13 testifies. God observes with a penetrating eye and sees our sin-infested heart that leads to sinful thoughts and sinful words and sinful deeds. And because Cain's heart was full of lawlessness, jealousy, envy, and lust, it gave birth to sin, murder. And as a result of his sinful heart and mind, he killed Abel. The practice of sin without repentance creates a downward spiral in our spirituality leading to death. And that death could be in the physical sense through the act of murdering Cain, and the spiritual death, eternally separated from God forever. Hear this truth of God. Let no one say, when he is tempted, I'm being tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, and he himself does not tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is carried away and enticed by his own lust. Then when lust has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And when sin is accomplished, it brings forth death, as God says through their disciple James, in James 1:13-14. And what you have here, my fellow disciples, is sin and death, both in the physical, the act of murder of an innocent person, and spiritual death, separated from God forever. Hey, wait a second. death of an innocent person. Is anyone thinking of Jesus in this biblical account? And finally, hear what God said to Nicodemus in John chapter 3. Are you the teacher of Israel and do not understand these things? One would have to ask, what things? Well, what Jesus was referencing was being born again. Because the simple truth of God is what Jesus said to Nicodemus, and it applied then, and it applies today, and will apply forever. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Now, Nick was a teacher. And if you are a teacher, shouldn't you be cognizant of God's word, truth, will, life, commands, and works? That would be a yes or no answer, NGA. This life of discipleship goes well beyond cliches, jargon, and trite statements. Jesus continues, "The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but do not know where it comes from and where it is going. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit." The Spirit of God comes upon a soul when the Father transfers you from the domain of darkness, and God the Holy Spirit brings forth conviction, which is the catalyst to repentance, and one's thinking begins to change. And the most impactful changes in one's thinking is about the only true God, His life, His Spirit, His love, His mercy, His grace, His word, His works, and His commands. God completes His work with remarkable precision, and it goes into action at whenever time, with whomever God chooses, and at whatever degree He desires. That's the plain old truth. How about this question, still in John 3? If I told you earthly things and you do not believe, how will you believe if I tell you heavenly things? Well, my fellow disciples, here's the first connectivity with the physical and the spiritual. The physical, the Son of God came down from heaven, became flesh as a man, and dwelt among His creation, and He possesses both a human and divine nature. So maybe Nick should have answered Jesus by saying, "Lord, the wind goes and comes from where You created it to depart from and where You planned for it to arrive." Now, you have Jesus asking Adam and Cain way before Nicodemus. How about Hebrews 13:8? Can you see how God's word supports and confirms itself? So you may want to be prepared, because God asks questions. Have you ever given any thought to, as you're journeying along toward immortality, that at some point along this linear line of time, there's a pre-planned one-on-one question session with God? Hear this truth of God. It's Romans 14:12. "So then each one of us will give an account of himself to God." Do you suppose that will be a question-driven session? How about 1 Peter 4:5? "But they will give an account to Him who is ready to judge the living and the dead." Question-driven? Yes or no? NGA. So God knew, because God knows all things and is never surprised by their own work or the results they produce. You can count on that. Now, God's use of the word "if" confirms that God has specific purposes, that confirms your spiritual condition, that is going to happen. If. Now, meditate on these truths of God when God asserts the word "if." First, we have John 14:15. "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." 1 Corinthians 15:14. "And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain, your faith also is vain. How about Galatians 3:29? And if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's descendants, heirs according to promise. Listen to Galatians 4:7. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. Hebrews 12:8 says, but if you are without discipline, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. And finally, Isaiah 48:17 and 18. Thus says the Lord, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. I am the Lord your God who teaches you to profit, who leads you in the way you should go. If only ye had paid attention to my commandments. It's quite simply the truth. God has conditions, and the word if speaks to those conditions and the hope that comes through his truth, which is, you will and you are. That truth should keep you pressing on regardless of the circumstances, events, or trials. Amen? And you heard them. If Christ has not been raised, then if you belong to Christ, then you are. If you a son, then an heir. If you are without discipline, then you are. And if only you had paid attention. So, my fellow disciples, the simple truth, what God says will happen just like he says it will, down to every jot and tittle. You can believe that truth. Now, for the topic of our dive today, let's make sure the lens is clear, because the plain old truth, God asks questions. And you can be confident. You, Y-O-U, my fellow disciples, are on God's question agenda for when God deems for your time on the Bema seat. Amen? I can testify to the fact that God does, can, and will ask questions. That's the plain old truth. Because when Jesus graced this snake pit with his presence, Jesus asked 307 questions. So, Hebrews 13:8, you heard me whisper it before, it confirms this truth that God asks questions. Hebrews 13:8 says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. So the simple truth, he asked questions before, he asks questions now, and will ask questions all eternity. You can count on that. So, the question, tell me if you know. Let's dive in. This profound question is found in the book of Job. It's Job 38:18. Have you understood the expanse of the earth? Tell me if you know all this. Just stop and think about that question for a moment. The expanse of the earth. What in the world is God asking Job? We could assume a lot. Is God asking about the vastness of the earth's surface? Or is God asking about the density of the earth to its core? Is God asking how the continents remain rigid? Is God asking about the key components of how the earth rotates on its axis? How the earth is placed in the order of planets? Or how the channels of water are created and how they flow? That would be just in a physical, my fellow disciples. And I'm certain that's not all questions God has on his clipboard. Now, how about all the spiritual aspects of the expanse of the earth? Oh, the complexities of God. How wondrous and perfect are his ways. Because although God's question could be generic in nature, but think of this. Oh, the depth of the riches of both the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and unfathomable his ways, as I quote Romans 11:33. So may I ask you, God asks questions. And he asked, have you understood? Not understand. Big difference. Because there's something about the word understood. That would be the unspoken, unwritten, comprehended, recognized, grasped, and apprehended. All with looks, and not a peep between them. Oh, the diversity and harmony of the Trinity. When you look at your bumps, bruises, and scars, regardless if they're in the physical or the spiritual, and whether they're short-lived or prolonged, keep trusting God. Because a day is coming when those things, events, circumstances, which resulted in physical and spiritual scarring with wounds so deep one could think would never heal, one day, my fellow disciples, will cease to exist. Praise God. Hear God's promise and live in this truth as you become a doer of His word and not just a mere hearer. Amen. It's 1 John 3. See how great a love the Father has bestowed on us, that we would be called children of God, and such we are. For this reason the world does not know us, because it did not know Him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet appeared as yet what we will be. We know that when He appears, we will be like Him, because we will see Him just as He is. And everyone who has this hope fixed on Him purifies himself just as He is pure. So God knows within this creation of humanity, varying degrees of knowledge and understanding exist from the youngest to the oldest. And you know what I'm learning? Age is no guarantee of wisdom. You can count on that. Wisdom only comes from God, but you better ask Him for it, or you won't have godly wisdom. Because other than godly wisdom is man's wisdom, NGA. Now, as a matter of fact, God asked Job 77 questions. How about that grilling session? And in the pouring down rain, I would think monsoon or hurricane would be a better description. Or maybe God questioned Job in a derecho. But how about God asking you 77 questions, but not about their creation? No. 77 questions about every aspect of your life. Questions that I might remind you that God already knows the answer. Remember Adam? God's questions could pertain to your lack of interest or desire in reading, studying, and meditating on His word, your conduct when you were young and now, the treatment of family members at home out of the view of others, sin and the practice of it, gossiping, actions done in darkness, breaches of trust, displays of animosity, lack of forgiveness, holding grudges, demonstrations of unrighteousness, conduct when single and married, living and telling lies, views on greed and selfishness, spiritual obstructions, displays of anger, unbridled tongue. And I will testify, God's scribes have it all, whether you remember it or not. And please write this word of God on the tablet of your heart. For we all must appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may be recompensed for his deeds in the body, according to what he has done, whether good or bad, as God communicates clearly in 2 Corinthians 5:10. Now, we're about to look at a few of the 77, and I pray after today's Godcast you spend some time reading, studying, and meditating on the book of Job, as it will surely change your perception of God's sovereignty. I'm going to send you this one in a bubble. Some key points regarding the book of Job. God created Satan, and Satan is not God's equal. Satan cannot do anything without God's permission. Sin and the way we live is not always the reason for suffering. Evil will get what God has planned. Sometimes, when visiting a friend or a loved one in a trial, silence could speak volumes. Job had questions as well. Who can bring what is pure from the impure? No one? But a man dies and lays prostrate. Man expires, and where is he? And if a man dies, will he live again? And you know every answer to Job's question is, I hope you said, Jesus Christ. Remember, faith alone, in Jesus alone. The simple truth, spiritual warfare is real, and it's going on behind the scenes and above your head. And for some, it's in the next room within your own dwelling place, at your workplace, or anywhere you could be treading today. If you believe God, then you must trust God in all circumstances, events, and trials. Our trust in God must be authentic. And trust God even when we don't understand, because we don't understand. And finally, in love and adoration for God, we must obey His word and commands, trust God completely, and surrender to His will, whether we know, or don't realize, recognize, or understand. That's the plain old truth. Now, how about these questions? And these questions came from Job chapters 38 through 40, and not specifically just the passages, numbers. They're in chapters 38 through 40. And here we go. Where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Tell me if you have understanding. Have you ever in your life commanded the morning and caused the dawn to know its place, that it might take hold of the ends of the earth and the wicked will be shaken out of it? Have you entered into the springs of the sea or walked in the recesses of the deep? Have the gates of death been revealed to you? Or have you seen the gates of deep darkness? Where is the way to the dwelling of light? And darkness, where is its place? Have you entered the storehouses of snow? Or have you seen the storehouses of hail, which I have reserved for the time of distress, for the day of war and battle? Hath the rain a father? Or who has begotten the drops of dew? From whose womb has come the ice and the frost of heaven? Who has given it birth? Can you bind the chains of Pleiades or loose the cords of Orion? Can you lead forth a constellation in its season and guide the bear with her satellites? Do you know the ordinances of the heavens, or fix their rule over the earth? Can you lift up your voice to the clouds? Can you lift up your voice to the clouds so that an abundance of water will cover you? Can you send forth lightnings that they may go as you say, here we are? Or who enclosed the sea with doors when, bursting forth, it went out from the womb? When I made a cloud its garment, and thick darkness its swaddling band, and I placed the boundaries on it, and set a bolt and doors, and I said, thus far you shall come, but no farther, and here shall your proud wave stop. Who has put wisdom in the innermost being, or given understanding to the mind? Who can count the clouds of wisdom, or tip the water jars of heaven? Can you bind a wild ox in a furrow with ropes, or will he harrow the valleys after you? Did you give the horse its might? Do you clothe his neck with a mane? Do you make him leap like the locust? Is it by your understanding that a hawk soars, stretching his wings toward the south? Is it at your command that the eagle mounts up and makes his nest on high? Will the fault finder contend with the Almighty? Let him who reproves God answer it. Have you understood the expanse of the earth? Tell me if you know all this. Please, you must understand. It would be sound wisdom to identify, understand, and accept your own sinfulness, evil, and depravity, which is alive in your flesh. And it would be foolishness and to your own folly to attempt to justify your sinful thoughts, words, and deeds before an all-knowing, all-powerful, loving God. And rest assured of this truth too, my fellow disciples. No one can ever do what God has done, nor can anyone do what God will do forever. That's the plain old truth. Because as for God, his way is blameless, the word of the Lord is tried, he is a shield to all who take refuge in him. As Psalm 18:30 declares, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways," declares the Lord. "For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts," as Isaiah 55:8-9 testifies. When you are walking by the Spirit, praying by the Spirit, submitting to God's will in your life, and your life is eternally focused daily, and your spiritual life is a constant movement forward on the narrow way toward the narrow gate as you follow the lead of the Spirit. You live in anticipation by faith in the righteousness of Jesus that is promised by God through those who believe. Fruit is being produced in and through your essence daily. As you work out your salvation, you're loving, forgiving, repentive, purposeful in changing the way you think, and actively working in the Lord's harvest by sharing the gospel and making disciples, acting on God's word, will, commands, and his calling on your life. As we head back up, take this with you. 1 Samuel 16:7 says this, "But the Lord said to Samuel, do not look at his appearance or at the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. For God sees not as man sees. For man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." And Proverbs 27:19. "As in water, face reflects face, so the heart of man reflects man." If God was asking you the following questions from a sovereign perspective, how do you think you would answer him? When did you decide to leave your mom's ovary for fertilization? When and how did you pick your parents? Tell me if you know. When did you decide the day, time, and location of your birth? What color palette did you use for the melanin of your hair, eyes, and skin? How did you wake yourself this morning? Because the dead won't hear an alarm. When did you decide for my marvelous light to invade your spiritual darkness? How did you make yourself alive when you were spiritually dead as a doornail? How do your physical and spiritual wounds heal? Are you in control of that? When did you decide to infuse your soul and spirit into your essence? Tell me how you decided the parameters of your trial in life. When did you establish the duration and intensity of it? Can you tell me what tomorrow will bring? Do you know how many hairs are on your head? Can you make your hair white or black? Do you know the date, time, and place of your last breath? Will someone be with you, or will you be alone? Tell me if you know all this. Let me remind you of this fact. Every question God asks, He already knows the answer. That's the plain old truth. Let me pray for you. Abba, I love you and I thank you for today. This is a day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Lord, your words and truth bring so much light and life to our essence. I have seen your work of your hands in so many circumstances, events, and trials. There is no question as to your presence within our essence, because your spirit brings forth life to these dry bones. Abba, open their hearts like you did Lydia, to receive the truth of your word. Bring forth your spirit into someone's essence today. Create a clean heart in us, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within us. Empower your disciples to press on in your calling on their lives. I know it's only by your will, work, and spirit that this Godcast moves from my desk to the ears and hearts that you have planned for to receive. Thank you for wisdom, discernment, and understanding. Thank you for your spirit. Thank you for this new life, because without the work of your hand, they don't hear a peep out of me. Allow us to do your will, fulfill our ministry by proclaiming your name as we continue in the work in your harvest by being and making disciples. I ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, thanks for tuning in to Diving Deep with DL. The Lord's loving kindness indeed never cease, for His compassions never fail. They're new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Have a great day of worship and keep walking the way.